everyone. I'm Alan Wenzel, FreePod host, welcoming you to this extended interview. Nearly 50 years ago, Highland Community College and what was then the Freeport YMCA entered into an historic agreement to jointly construct and share an indoor recreational facility. That partnership was believed to be the first of its kind in the United States in which a YMCA and a community college shared resources to better meet the needs of both organizations' constituents. Since 1979, the HCC-YMCA partnership has changed and evolved, and today, in 2025, is on the threshold of a redefinition and redirection of their effort to better serve the community. Joining me today to help us better understand what is currently happening with the Y and Highland partnership are Chris Kaberski, president of Highland Community College, and Rich Haight, executive director of the YMCA of Northwest Illinois. Thanks, Chris and Rich, for taking time from a busy summer schedule to talk with FreePod. I would like to begin, Rich and Chris, with just some background to kind of establish a foundation for our conversation today. And that goes back to the very beginning. And from what you know of its history, what were the essential reasons why the Y and the college entered into a partnership originally? And how was the agreement established so that both parties would be able to meet constituents' needs?
So prior to for the YMCA relocating to our current location here on the Highland Community College campus, they occupied a building back in 1916. It was on Galena and Spring Street. Fast forward to 1975, 76, folks with the college and with the YMCA got together kind of looking at their current situations. The Y was occupying a building that was getting older, landlocked, and so it had a lot of limitations. And at the time, Highland was in the process of its facility planning, and they did not have a gymnasium for their sports activities. So the two groups got together, and in 1978, they agreed to move forward with a joint venture. And the cost of that joint venture to construct this existing facility at the time was $3.2 million. Now, I would take that every day. I wish that was still the case now. But how that worked out, Alan, was the YMCA contributed $1.5 million, and Highland took care of the balance of $1.7 million. And for the Y share, it was in exchange for a 50-year lease agreement with to occupy the current facility we have now. And since January 21st of 1980, that's when YMCA and HCC both occupied the current facility that we are in.
There is a historical document that was created called the HCC-YMCA Joint Venture. And one thing I thought was really interesting, they referred to the joint venture as an uncommon thing done uncommonly well. And I think the fact that it stood the test of the time of a 50-year contract speaks to the insight that those initial creators had. I do think it's interesting, though, that there was never a touch point or review of that contract as part of the contract, nor were there adjustments for inflation. So you can see that there were some difficulties over time, that some of the aspects of that contract were outdated. For example, there was a reserve fund that was established to defray the cost of major building improvements so that neither organization would have an outlay of cash for something like that. But it was established at $100,000 to cover, those defrayed costs. Well, given inflation, that would be more like $322,000 today. So there were some things that were a part of that contract that may have, been a little difficult over time. But overall, that contract stood 50 years ultimately.
Yeah, it did pretty well. I think our listeners might be interested to know how were decisions jointly shared by the college and the Y about building use of space, improvements that needed to be made? What was the governing structure, if you will, for how that building has operated for the last 50 years? Who was responsible for what expenses? Who made what decisions about what?
So they established a contract, and in that contract, they tried to spell out as much as they could, thinking as far forward as they could, right? And to Chris's point, So currently right now, the YMCA handles, manages 65% of the occupancy costs, and Highland is 35% of the occupancy costs. Now, those are for things like maintenance and custodial and a whole host of other things that go into that. But there's also a lot of things that our partnership were able to take advantage of coexisting together. Things like technology is one of the big things, security for the campus, a host of other of things that the Y was been able to take advantage of as due to this partnership.
And it was agreed that the Y would manage the building, which they continue to do. So that was also part of that initial lease agreement. Something else that I think is, for historical purposes, important to remember, at the time that that agreement was reached, the YMCA was not doing any childcare. And the college only had four competitive teams. Today, the college has 12 competitive teams, and the YMCA is serving over 100 children. So obviously, in that 50-year time span, the dynamic of both institutions, organizations has drastically changed, which is part of the reason that we're rethinking how that might look in the future.
Chris, you mentioned an example of a program change that occurred in the last 50 years to better meet community or constituent needs, the childcare program. Are there other examples of changes that have been made in the partnership or in the use of the building that have come about because of this evolvement, the evolving needs of the community?
I would probably defer to Chris, because what we have seen is the expansion of the athletic teams and the growth in that area. So I didn't know if you wanted to expand on that, because that definitely has been on as well.
Sure. And so, you know, originally, as I said, there were only four competitive teams. Now that has tripled in the last 10 decades. And so obviously the need for that space is more prevalent for student athletes than it was initially. Also, something that's happened is initially the YMCA offered the majority of the physical ed classes as part of their programming. As our accreditation and compliance kept changing with faculty qualifications, that had to shift to a Highland faculty offering those because of the requirements that we have through our Higher Learning Commission. And so you also saw a shift in that programming and the need for, you know, more qualified faculty as far as having a master's degree in PYED and those kinds of things. So I think those are the two most significant differences that I would point to.
And I think one thing I'd add in addition to the childcare is we offering a summer day camp program. This, for the last couple of years, we've opened up registration on April 1st. And within 4 hours, we've had over 175 kids registered for that program. And we've had to close it within 4 hours. Where my office is located, I'm right next to the Welcome Center. And literally every day, I'm hearing our staff answer a call, for families asking if we have openings in our summer day camp program. So that just tells me that we are limited in our capacities to even provide for that need that's in our community.
Those are great examples of how changing needs have caused you to reexamine how do we do this partnership more effectively than we have been to better meet community needs. Can you talk a little bit about some of the adult recreational needs? You know, the folks that come in the morning to work out on the machines, to run some laps, swim some laps before going to work. How are those adult community recreational health needs evolved in the last 50 years?
So we've seen growth in our senior programming and through our fitness and aquatics. I would say one of the other barriers that I think we face is the fact the location of our existing health and wellness center being in the lower level, and access can be challenging at times. And also it's in an area where there's no sunlight coming through. Providing opportunity to expand that area is going to be critical as well.
Well, and another example of that, to make sure that there is space for the community members, our teams can't all go and, for example, lift weights together. They have to do it in segments because there's not enough space there. So it's limiting both organizations. I think what we discovered as we were looking at the future needs is that if you just take one of our organizations, we've outgrown the space, but you have two organizations who've outgrown the space together. And so we find ourselves kind of literally on top of each other because both areas need the whole space plus. And so that's really part of what we started recognizing and started examining together for the good of the both organizations. We know that it needs to look different.
You make a compelling case, Rich and Chris, for the changes that have been afoot the last several years have really caused you to think pretty seriously about how can we better address some of those issues that are in front of us. I'm wondering if you two could walk us through a little bit about the steps you've taken to get us to this point. When you realize that we're both outgrowing this facility, we have needs that we have to meet in some other way than we're currently meeting, what did the two organizations do to get this process of reexamining the relationship started?
So Highland, I think, started with looking at our athletic strategic plan, which indicated that one of the ways that we could help grow our enrollment and create sustainability for our enrollment and our financial future was to add some competitive teams and also fill the rosters of the current teams that we have. To do that, we would require more space. That would entail, a turf area for baseball and softball and hopefully soccer in the future. It would also entail better locker rooms, an expanded fitness center. So we started by looking at what that would mean for Highland students and student athletes and ultimately allow for community and involvement through more tournaments and things like that. So with that in mind, we also recognize that our joint contract was going to come to an end in 2030. So we thought as we were approaching that, this is the time to start talking to the Y about their needs and our needs and how that might look together, or if that might also lead us down a different path. So then we started a joint task force. And during that those task force meetings, we just had some honest conversations about current pain points and where we saw potential growth. And I believe we also looked at the space allocations and the space needs of each individual organization and what that would look like together. And when you put those together, that thumbprint was going to be really big. And so at that point, I think the Y started thinking about their needs maybe a little differently. So I'll let Rich talk about that.
Thank you, Chris. And as we were going through that process, our board examined the opportunity of starting a strategic planning process, and we solicited a third party consulting firm to kind of walk us through that, because we know that unlike other strategic plans that you may be looking to do, this is going to have a monumental effect on how the Y moves forward. And so we went through that process. We sent out over 200 plus surveys to community stakeholders. We got over 100 responses back from that. We had we had focus groups set up with 40 plus stakeholders and kind of gathering data, gathering information, reviewing metrics, and going through a whole bunch of data and collection of information in order to kind of guide and lead us through this process. And one of the things that that as I was going through it personally, how I had to recalibrate my thinking when going through this strategic process was I had to get my mind not so wrapped around facility, but to look at people, practices, and partners, and then figure out what are those key components and how do those drive what we want to do moving forward, and let the place be something else, right? Don't let that be the main driver. Figure these things out and then determine place afterwards. And so not looking at, to Chris said, it was going to be this footprint of how we all going to make our services and everything that we want to do fit into this place. But examine who you want to be, who you need to be for our community in order to be sustainable and transformational, and then figure out how you can house that and be sustainable moving forward. This summer, the Y will be serving our community for 155 years. And so in order for us to be transformational and sustainable for the next 155 years, these were decisions we had to look closely at.
Rich, it appears to me that, typically we think of the Y as a health and recreational kind of a facility. And I know in the last 15 to 20 years, childcare has been a big component of what you do. Are you seeing now the Y kind of redirecting its emphasis and mission to more clearly focus on the child care needs, in addition to all of the health and wellness activities in which you participate and advocate. A little different focus for you folks in the coming years?
Oh, absolutely. As we were going through this process, through our strategic planning process, one of the other things that came very apparent was we weren't facing a YMCA childcare problem. We were facing a community infrastructure issue. When you think about the barriers that employers have, employees have, and new businesses wanting to relocate to our community, right now, currently, our region is in is considered a childcare desert. We have over 1,200 slots open that people need to have childcare for, and we are going to through this move from currently providing 102 to over 220. Now there's still a big gap between what this community needs and what we're able to do, but we want to keep pushing that forward to try to minimize that gap so that we can help reduce some of those barriers that our community faces.
And Chris, I know from experience that the college has faced certainly a change in its emphasis from the Y being available for student memberships and for students to come over and use the pool or use a gym, or from some old intramural programs that we had for basketball and volleyball, changing more to intercollegiate sports kinds of needs has been a real growth area for the college. And so your focus is also changing a little bit in terms of why you need a little different look to a recreational facility for the college.
Yes, that is true. And we also have really focused in our strategic plan on an exceptional student experience. And we know that the current facility is not creating an exceptional experience. If you look at even our area high schools, but particularly our colleges that students are also touring, we have a subpar facility just because it's dated and it doesn't have some of the amenities that we would like it to have for students. It also has, limited space, and it doesn't have places for many of our competitive teams to truly practice the way that they should on campus. For example, baseball and softball. We have made some accommodations to help that, but it's really not the type of facility that is ideal for those student athletes. So we also know that with the demographic enrollment cliff, the change in the number of high school graduates that we're seeing in our local high schools, that the enrollment is going to continue to decrease if we're only depending on our graduating classes. So we need to think about how we might recruit. And student athletes is one area that we can also recruit in outside of our district. By Illinois Community College board laws, we cannot recruit in other districts unless they don't have the program that we're recruiting. So the areas that we can recruit in include student athletes. And we want to continue to have local student athletes for sure. But we also know that that's another potential way to boost our enrollment, create sustainability, financial stability, and all of those things that are so important to the college to remain viable for the future.
I wonder if we could, I think we're in a spot where I'm going to ask you to look ahead here a little bit, the next 3 to 5 years, what's going to have to happen. But so far, if I've got this, if I've listened carefully here, the needs have changed dramatically from what they were 50 years ago for not only the college, but for the Y. Community demographics and needs have changed dramatically. Student demographics and needs have changed dramatically. And Rich, I like your thought about, well, how can we best, forget about a facility right now, well, how can we best meet those needs? And the place will come along, and the facility will come along to fill the need and whatever function it needs to have. And so I'm wondering if you could, both of you, just tell me what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. The agreement ends in 2030. There are lots of things that have to happen between now and then. And I'm wondering what the next steps are for you. And we don't know 4 or 5 years from now exactly what's going to happen. But can you walk us through a timeline of what the task force is thinking about in terms of how this will unfold for the two of you in the next 5 years?
So For us, one of the things that we will be doing is looking to relocate to the Stuart West building, which is literally right across the street from our existing location. One of the first phases of that project is going to be to relocate our current childcare, which currently, like I said, has 102. And so getting those kids and families transitioned to the new site and more than doubling is going to be the first phase of this project for us. Our intention is to have that completed by June of 2027. And then we have just probably under 5 years left on our current joint partnership agreement. And so what we are looking to then, it would be to relocating the existing health and wellness aquatics gymnasium facilities to that new site by January of 2030. Now we'd like to be in prior to that. That's our goal. But we are also understanding of current economic situations and with us kind of walking through this process, you know, there's a lot of unknowns when it comes to projects like this. And so our goal is to be in there prior to that date of January 2030. So, but then when we do that, we're not looking to just replicate the YMCA as it currently sits in terms of how people see it now, but creating a healthy living campus at that site. So the intention would be to come alongside or engage with synergetic partners and partnerships that could not only that would cohabitate that place with us, but also have like I said, synergetic partnerships that we can utilize the space and the capacities of that facility to not only help serve the needs of our community, but each individual partner that would come in, they would have access and opportunity with the new space that we'd have available as well. So that would be a direction we'd be going.
And Alan, for the college, one of the things that we are currently doing is melding timelines. So we're looking at the timeline for our funding processes, our construction processes, the foundations process, and the WISE goals to see where there might be gaps or challenges. And so we will be sharing that with our board in the next couple months and sharing it with the Y as well as part of our task force meetings once we have been able to do that and finalize it. And then some of our next steps will be to investigate a construction manager and someone who can help us really focus on the scope of the project to really reimagine what our athletic facility is going to look like. We intend to remodel it and add on, but we also recognize that the childcare facility is probably going to be repurposed for classrooms and additional academic programs. One of the things that I hadn't mentioned so far is this isn't just about athletics. This is also about growing athletic programs and academic programs. So we are investigating the possibility of physical therapy assistant and exercise science as additional academic programs that would serve the needs of our community, as well as some of the interests of our students. So another thing that we'll be doing this fall is evaluating our feasibility study for the physical therapy assistant program and probably updating that because that's an accreditation process that once we get in the queue, we'll still take 2 to 3 years for it to actually be able to be offered. So that's one that we're exploring. So there are a lot of pieces of this in addition to just the facility itself. We also recognize the fact that once construction begins, we will be displaced for probably a year. And so we will have a year of needing to find other facilities to practice, to host games, and maybe just be on the road for a year. So those are other things that logistically we have to figure out. But what I would say in 5 years would that be that when you drive onto Highlands campus, you will see a marked improved facility, and hopefully you will see a lot more students as a result of growing those competitive teams and adding those academic programs.
Thank you, Chris. And Rich, I imagine a lot of that is ahead for you too, in terms of having someone take a look at the facility and redesign and construction and all the things that would have to be done to come up with whatever it is that you need to better address your issues of health and wellness and childcare in the community. I imagine those same kinds of steps will be in place for you also.
Correct. And we are transitioning from a strategic process to a capital planning process. And a part of that has been, we have engaged with a facility development group that's gone through and looked at the Stuart West building that we're looking to move into. And they are a group that has worked with hundreds of YMCAs across the country. And in some ways, they're probably the experts when it comes to working with those types of organizations. And they were able to identify that space as being a place that would hit on all of these markers that we are looking to move towards moving forward. So yes, we are going through that process, and we're excited to kind of see how this all develops.
I would also like to add that Highland is excited that the Y is still going to be in such close proximity, because right now our early childhood education program is a key element of our partnership. Those students observe the children in the childcare center and work very closely with those teachers and shadow them and all of those things. So the fact that the Y is going to be so close, we know that that's going to be a key element of the partnership that is maintained. We still don't know exactly how it looks, but we know that that piece is really critical for our students' education. And we are the pipeline to feed those additional teachers that the Y is going to need as they expand.
That was going to be my next question. How are the two of you going to continue to collaborate and cooperate beyond, the separation from the facility itself? How are you two going to work together? And Chris, you've answered that question. Rich, do you have a thought there too?
Yeah, and that's what's exciting about this. We can now move from the process of trying to figure out how we're all going to fit into a space, and now how, like I said before, moving through how are we going to best meet the needs of our community for both organizations, and how does that look for both of us moving in the future together. And so the conversations now it's exciting, because now the conversations are around that, like strategic partnership thinking is now what we can really concentrate on. And so I'm excited about not only what Chris just shared, but possibly extending those opportunities as we engage in further conversations. So
it sounds like a win-win for both of you and for the community also. I wonder, as we come to the close of this interview, I sure appreciate the time that you've two allotted, Rich and Chris. I wonder if you have some final thoughts or observations or messages that you'd like to give our listeners about the upcoming changes in the Y-HCC partnership.
I would just say that I think that we approach this together as institutions, organizations, thinking about how change is opportunity. And so trying to think about the opportunities that were presented for both organizations separately, and then collaboratively how we could capitalize on those. And honestly, if you had asked 2 years ago where we would be today, I don't think we would have written a better story than where we are. Both organizations have great opportunity, and really this will aid the community in maybe different ways, but clearly in ways that will add to economic stability. And also sustainability of the college and of the childcare offerings and the Y in particular. So I don't think you could be at a better place. We've hit a major milestone to come to this moment. We have a lot of work ahead of us, but we also are cheerleaders for each other in the process, and so appreciate the Y's partnership to this point. But it's going to look different. I think it's going to look better. Ultimately, it's just, it's messy in the process. I often say on campus, reimagine is messy. And this is part of the mess. But when you get to the end and you see the result, then you just kind of glow in the moment. So I think in 5 years, you'll see that. But in the process, bear with us, because there's going to be a little mess involved.
I couldn't have said that better. And I don't want that word reimagine just to sound cliche, because this is absolutely what's happening here. And I think it's absolutely what's necessary for both organizations to sustain and grow and move forward and better serve our community. They need us to be the best that we can be to further grow and develop this, our area. So it was a process when we first started. All I could see was how are we going to keep things going the way they were, and are we going to figure out a way to do this for another 50 years? And that was sort of very limited thinking on my part. And as we started developing and going down these paths, and then now seeing how opportunities just started just blowing up before me, I'm really excited at the direction that both organizations are going.
I was around for the very first partnership back in 1978, 79 when that all started, and it's fun to be here for the second one. I won't be here for the third one in 50 years from now, but congratulations to both of you and your organizations for the work that you've done on this. And thanks so much for the time that you've taken to talk to us a little bit about how you're trying to address community needs in ways that make sense for your organizations and help us all out in the end. This is Alan Wenzel reminding you to tune in to our regular news podcast every Thursday at noon on all major podcast platforms, or by going to our websites for Free Pod or WNIJ Public Radio in DeKalb. The in-depth interviews drop every Tuesday at noon in those same locations. And as always, our thanks go out to the Mass Communications Department at Highland for producing these podcasts for FreePod, and to the many volunteers who are working to bring you the news you've been missing. Thanks again for listening, and thanks again, Chris and Rich, for your time today.